Amp Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Lavasi International. Lavasi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavasi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavasi International, lavasi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.UK. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
Amp Radio.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. This week in MMA, we're coming at you live and unedited from the Amp Studios in Danville, California, and of course, Amp Studios International in Canada. How about that, Hoser? And we're coming at you via the aftermath that was UFC 217 Bisping versus St. Pierre. And of course, we'll get into Bellator 186 as well. Kind of hard to think about Bellator a day and a half removed after one hell of a UFC fight card, but we will certainly go in that route. All three belts changed hands and probably more bonus awards given in this card than any we've seen in quite some time. UFC 217 held last night, November 4th, at the Madison Square Garden Arena. Total attendance near sellout, we're told, at 18,201 and a total gate of 6.2 million. Dana White saying, of course, that the pay-per-view easily went over 1 million. Fight of the night, None were given, but of course, performance of the night's given to GSP, TJ Dillashaw, and Rose Namajunas. Additional performance of the night's $25,000 each given to OSP and Ricardo Ramos. Proteus, let's get into it right away. We saw GSP destroy Michael Bisping relatively early. Didn't think that would happen. I thought GSP would win, but I thought it would be via decision. Got to hear from you, Proteus. What say you?
Well, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I told you guys on Wednesday that I didn't believe that GSP would be coming back to the sport without being improved. Sure, I was concerned about the 4 years off, but as we had heard, he had been continually improving his game. And I just want to put James Lynch and Aaron Bronstetter on blast because they were coming at me when I said that GSP hadn't retired. Yeah, I'd never used the R word. And they were saying, no, he's retired. I said, no. He's still working on his game. He's still crafting and honing his game. And man, did we see an improved GSP last night? I had been saying that GSP was one of the first to start getting in behind that jab in MMA and using his boxing skills to his advantage. And we saw that full force last night. Just some beautiful work by GSP.
I'll tell you, I was getting worried about the picks, Proteus, because I had actually gone 100%. And typically when I go 100%, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, and of course did it ever with the co-main event and the other championship fight with the women's strawweight. Obviously Marco picked Bisping via decision, Pam picking GSP via decision. I don't think it's hard for us to say that, you obviously picked GSP via decision. I chose GSP via decision, but boy, I'll tell you, did he deliver. And then some.
I did not pick GSP by decision, sir. I picked GSP by third round KO.
Third round KO, pretty close, right? I mean, it certainly wasn't a KO, but he certainly submitted him. Wow. I'll tell you, I was taken aback, certainly. This was a fight that I didn't think GSP could finish a big man like Bisping, but he took it to him, Proteus, and I thought GSP was gassing out a little in the second, but boy, did he looked great. Proteus, did I lose you?
Yeah, no, I'm here, sorry. He totally, when we were talking back and forth over text message last night while the fights were going on, the second round just seemed to be an anomaly. But I was very impressed, as GSP had said in his post-fight interview in the octagon. He was standing in front of Michael Bisping in the exact correct place. He was kind of standing in a blind spot, shall we say, because he could not see anything coming from his right hand side and GSP's obviously left-hand side, throwing kicks, punches. You just couldn't see them coming because of that eye. And I know Bisping had said that he doesn't want to retire that way, but I think Tony, GSP really just gave us the blueprint on how to beat Michael Bisping moving forward. He can't see out of that one eye.
You know, perfect segue, because my next question to you was going to be, what's next for Bisping? And what's next for GSP? I mean, let's talk about it.
Well, there was no one more excited than Bobby Knuckles when GSP won. I thought that was a great clip. They pan over to Bobby Knuckles, or the Reaper, as he likes to call himself, and just seemed like he was super giddy. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. A masterful performance by GSP, and I think that he's got to do Bobby Knuckles. That fight is not going to happen in Perth, that's for damn sure. I don't think GSP is going to Perth. I think the GSP that we saw last night has a good chance against Robert Whittaker. Obviously,
wow.
Robert Whittaker is tough. You saw it. You saw that performance, didn't you? I was impressed by the performance.
I was impressed by that performance. Yeah, I don't doubt that GSP looks fantastic. I just think fighting, and keep in mind, to be fair, right, Robert Whittaker went up a weight division, right? Because
yeah.
He's really a 170, right? So he went up. He's a smaller 185er for that division, considering the giants that we've seen. Then again, look at lightweight, where you have James Vick at 6'3", right? But that would be a tough, tough fight. I saw, obviously, I think Whittaker was fanboying out. I think he enjoyed the fight naturally. I think he enjoyed being in New York City. Certainly, he probably enjoyed being next to Paige VanZant.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Thank you. But, of course, he looks fantastic. But, you know, I think that would be a really tough fight for GSP. But here's the thing. How can you deny what he did, right? How can you literally not call him the greatest fighter ever in the UFC? I would actually give that. I would have given that mantle, as you guys know, to Anderson Silva. But, boy, almost a four-year layoff, coming back strong. Now, keep in mind, he wasn't injured like Dominic Cruz was, right? Dominic Cruz literally couldn't fight for, 4 years because he was injured. But GSP, boy, I'll tell you, he looked fantastic. He definitely showed star power, wasn't overwhelmed at all in any of it. I thought walking out, I think I sent you a text, I thought he looked nervous, but certainly wasn't overwhelmed, certainly put on the kind of caliber that we expect GSP to be. But you would like to see Bobby Knuckles versus GSP next, huh?
Yeah, and just to clarify quickly, GSP did tear his ACL while he was off for the four years, which did delay any comeback that he might have had by a little bit. But yes, I would like to see that fight. I'm very, very intrigued. Obviously, if GSP goes up against someone like a Yoel Romero type, I think he gets absolutely dusted. Or Luke Rockhold, he gets absolutely dusted. Maybe. But I think, as you mentioned, you know, Robert Whittaker coming up in weight. Thank you, Tony. I think that what you just said, you know, with him, Bobby Knuckles coming up in weight, it's more of an even fight for George. I think that he has a better chance against someone like a Bobby Knuckles than he does against, as I said, a giant like Yoel Romero. So, hey, if he can get in there against Robert Whittaker and defend that belt and then just give it up, you know, say, here, guys, because I don't think he would want to fight somebody like a Yoel or some of the bigger guys in that division. So, yes, I would like to see Robert Whittaker next. I would like to see it in Toronto because I am selfish.
Well, and you know what? You're all about meritocracy and doing things the right way. I will tell you this. I'd love to see GSP fighting Woodley.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, Tony. I think that's, you know, two fights down the line, though. I don't believe that he needs... Here's the thing with fighting Woodley next. GSP has just, you know, put on some weight so he can fight at a higher weight class, 185. I think it's detrimental to his body to go from, you know, all the way up to 195, back down to 170, and then back up to 185. I just don't see that happening, Tony. I think if he's going to go back down to welterweight, it has to come after he defends that title.
You're right. Yeah, I mean, as of course, as the one and only Jules would say.
Correctamundo.
You're absolutely right on that one. All right, let's get into it. I'll tell you, the fight that I was probably most emotionally invested in was Dillashaw versus Garbrandt. Just to get the pick straight, Pam, of course, all of you guys chose TJ. Pam via third round sub, you via decision, Marco, of course, picking Dillashaw. I was the lone wolf picking second round TKO, and I was right. Wrong opponent, of course, but I was right, Proteus. Garbrandt gets knocked the F out. He wasn't knocked out, but he certainly got rocked and correct stoppage, obviously. But Dillashaw getting his title back. What say you, bro?
Yeah, in a very impressive performance by TJ Dillashaw. One thing that I thought, all right, let's rewind the tape a little bit. Because this Team Alpha Male feud, and we had talked about this probably to nauseam on this show leading up to this fight, since it was, you know, over a year in the making. The Team Alpha Male smear campaign that they were putting out for TJ Dillashaw, I just didn't think it put them in a good light. Now, Cody Garbrandt.
I agree.
Just a terrible look. Cody Garbrandt this week leaks out that footage, that training footage, which of course, guys,
should never happen. There's a little snake in the grass right there. Hey, little boy.
I love that one. The extended version. And we kind of saw that footage play out in the first round, Tony. If you remember, TJ Dillashaw got clipped by Cody Garbrandt, went down, and it looked very, very similar, very reminiscent to that edited footage we saw leaked out by Garbrandt.
100%.
Dillashaw having trouble getting back to his feet, but does eventually give back his feet and then just goes into cruise control, I thought, in the second round. You know, really...
Well, saved by the bell, right?
Sure. Well, you could call it that for sure, absolutely. But Garbrandt didn't get the finish. I mean, it's all... We could say this, we could say that, but he didn't get the finish. TJ did.
Right.
So TJ really looking impressive, shaking those cobwebs off after the first round, clearly had taken what the best of Cody had to offer, you know, in training and in this fight, bounces back, second round, gets the win in just a beautiful, beautiful transition, you know, kind of fainting out of the way of a big Garbrandt shot. More effective punch comes in with the right overhand right, and boom, down goes Garbrandt, and that's all she wrote. And I agree with you, Tony.
Well, it was the kick. Garbrandt, right? It was the kick that set up. It was a kick that set up the TKO. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and looking good, and you know, there's a photo of TJ right in the face of Garbrandt after, you know, Garbrandt gets up. And it just seemed like he was exercising all the demons that had been this year or a year and a half or whatever it was leading up, this build up to this fight. Good for him. Good to see him back on top where, honestly, I think he belongs.
And to be fair, boy, I'm starting to sound a lot like Ariel there, and I actually have always said that. So hats off to Ariel. But, right? I mean, because he says that, and I say
he's
that,
a fan
too,
of our
but
show.
Clearly he has a... Well, he has a much larger audience than we do. That's for damn sure. But to be fair, right? I think Pam was right, and I also believe that Goes was right in saying that I believe that Garbrandt had a lot more distractions. Right? You know, Goes was saying about him how he's wearing a new suit, and every video that you saw or every Instagram post was Dillashaw in the gym. Really being focused, and what you saw more of Garbrandt perhaps not being as focused. And I honestly think that has a lot to do with it. I also think the back injury had a lot to do with it. Hey, listen, kudos to him for not giving the excuses, and kudos to him, honestly, after a very heated year or so, to after he gets TKO'd, to go over, shake his hand, and say, hey, congratulations, and to post congratulations. I'm sorry, that's real beef, and he did the right thing, so kudos to him for doing that. Hats off TJ Dillashaw for that. Now, Proteus, I want Dillashaw going up against Mighty Mouse. Do you want to see that?
Oh, Tony, I mean, I'm going to give you the same answer I gave you when this fight was talked about when TJ was scheduled to fight Ray Borg. TJ Dillashaw has never ever fought at 125 pounds. I don't believe that he should. I think that TJ Dillashaw should take that title, and just like Mighty Mouse is going to do, and you know, dominate in the division or show us what they can do in the division. I know we're all about super fights and what can make the most amount of money. And of course, if we're to believe Lord Dana, this particular fight card is trending very well. So maybe these particular super fights, shall we call them, do draw the casual fan. But I think the Canadian market had a lot to do with this pay-per-view being the success that it was. Getting back to your question, no, I don't want to see them fight. I don't think that Mighty Mouse needs to do that. I think that, you know, I just wish that we could accept him for the great fighter that he is. I mean, now that you say GSP is the greatest of all time, I think Demetrius Johnson is number two. Yes, as we've mentioned before on the show, the division is light. However, I don't know that this is the correct answer, Tony. I don't know whether or not, you know, DJ either winning or losing is going to help either guy. So hard to say, but I don't want to see them fight.
Yeah, I agree with you that Mighty Mouse certainly deserves his due. It's not his fault that the division is what it is. So
right.
We have to really be fair about that. But Dillashaw, hey, listen, his own words, right? And this is coming from
TJ, who's your mama?
TJ Dillashaw says that he has to put on muscle to fight at 135. So a 125
right.
drop is made for him. Those are his words. We'll see, right? Because everyone wants that that to be the champ, right? Everyone wants that. So
sure.
Who can blame him? But I certainly would love to see that fight. I want to see someone give Mighty Mouse competition, and it drives me a little insane that he won't go and back and fight at 135 because he's fought there before. So it drives
right.
me, and he's right. He shouldn't have to go up there. If you want to come down, come down. But I certainly would like to see that fight. Let's go into the heartbreaker that was for me. And you know I love Rose Namajunas, or I like Rose Namajunas, but Thug Rose brutally TKOs, and frankly, JJ taps out, right? So Joanna Jędrzejczyk
yep.
taps out via punches. So, and that was a little heartbreaking for me because as, you know, as the garbage kickboxer that I am, I think tapping out to me just shows a different level. She gave up, basically. And it would have been inevitable,
yep.
I think, anyway. I think Big John was actually giving her the champion a little bit of rope there. But Rose Namajunas destroys JJ in the first via tap out KO. What say you, bro?
Well, it was not a surprise to me. It was not a heartbreak to me. I saw this one coming on Wednesday. I looked in Joanna's eyes, and she stared into Rose's eyes trying to intimidate her, and that just wasn't happening. And it just progressively, Tony, got worse over the week. If you watch the embedded videos, you can see the contrived animosity that Joanna was trying to create there. And
yeah.
I'm going to steal a little bit from Ariel. I don't know if I mentioned this on Wednesday, but I kind of alluded to it that it was very similar to the way Ronda Rousey was when she fought Holly
yep.
Holm. It was almost part and parcel the same thing that we saw happen and unfold last night or throughout fight week. And I knew it was coming. I mean, if you look at Rose's last fight against the Karate Hottie and just how composed she was and how improved she was against Michelle Watterson, we really loved this fight, didn't we, Tony? I mean, that finish was amazing.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened here, Tony. She got that pinpoint accuracy, a punch comes in. Joanna goes down in like a sack of potatoes, and Rose gets in there right away, notices and realizes that she's going to be hitting to the back of the head if she continues to throw punches from where she is, adjusts, takes her back, and just continues to throw left and right. Just some vicious, vicious ground and pound. It's amazing how this girl can just flip the switch. Now, you mentioned earlier on, Tony, and I apologize if you can hear my cat going off, because, of course, you have the car going off when we're doing a show. You know, it's the champions it's the hardship of the champion who has to do all the media that has to go here and there and everywhere, you know, and has the obligations that the UFC puts out to her. Now, JJ didn't want us to throw any shade on the UFC about her, her obligations. She said she didn't have that many and she didn't have to go far to get to them. But we're just seeing that the UFC is just going to milk their champs as much as possible. That's why GSP left the game. He just couldn't take the pressure that was, you know, top contender after top contender after top contender. And I think we saw the same thing here with JJ. I just think that this is probably going to be real good for her in the end. Kind of get rid of some of that bravado. Now, it's unfortunate because JJ was, I think, starting to make her mark a little bit with the fans. I mean, we saw all week that Joanna was getting the biggest pop everywhere she went, you know, open workouts, weigh-ins, you know, the ceremonial weigh-ins, whatever it is. But I think Rose is the kind of champ that you want. You know what I mean? You want a person that's going to take all comers, at least that I want, a person that's not going to run their mouth, be ridiculous, because I don't like seeing that. And, you know, Joanna just got into a little bit of ridiculous with me with those shades on all week and, you know, going at bat Pat Barry. Anyways, I digress. I just was very impressed by Rose, and it was not a shock to me at all to see her do what she did.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you that I think that there's that constant pressure, and you're right. I mean, Ariel was right. I'll steal for him too, that it did seem a little bit of, you know, the repeating, the you're not ready for this. Very reminiscent of when Ronda, of course, fought Holly Holm. Very reminiscent of that, right? But I think, and listen, I know that the Buffalo Blue disagrees with me here, and someone else did too. I always tell everyone that someone's due for a loss. She was due for a loss. And
absolutely.
Say whatever you want to say. I think, honestly, it's a combination of things. Clearly, the better fighter won that night. I think Rose's length took her a little bit by surprise. Her striking was certainly better than I thought it would be. Certainly didn't think, and I told you this on Smack My Picks Up, that I said, hey, listen, if you were to say second round submission, I can go with you on that trip, right? But a second round finish via strikes, there's no way that that's going to happen. And guess what? Exactly how you said it would happen. Not a kick, but definitely went down the way you said. I think a couple of factors, Proteus. I think her moving down to the U.S., clearly she has that killer tan going on, and maybe distractions just being in the U.S. and Florida. Not joking, right? Because it's a different lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're out a little bit more. Certainly, I think she was trying real hard to get pumped up for this fight. Oh, and I agree with you, it was over the top, right? But she was trying a little too hard. I'm talking about JJ here on all this, right? And I think Joanna, honestly, I think the press takes its toll on everyone, and we've seen that movie before. We know how it ends. So kudos to Rose. Well, let me ask you this. Two things. Then this is going to be twofold, maybe threefold, right? Number one, do you want to see the rematch next? Number two, can Rose be a star? And I don't think she can, because I just think she's too damn quiet, right? And number three, is Joanna's next fight in the flyweight division? I'll hand them to you all.
Yeah, I'm totally glad that you asked this question. I'm going to start with the rematch question. No one who lost their belt last night deserves a rematch. Especially not Ian Jędrzejczyk. If you tap to strikes in the first round, she, like you said, she gave up. You don't get a rematch. You got dusted. Go back to the end of the line and work your way back up. I almost swore there, so getting a little fired up. Garbrandt doesn't deserve
and we're starting to get a lot of sponsors. So that's going to be the bad part, guys. One thing that you will see is we're starting to get a lot more sponsors. So unfortunately, we are going to have to quell a bit on the profanity, or at least I'm going to have to get some duck noises in there or something, but we are going to have to quell that a bit. But sorry, Proteus, go ahead. I'm sorry. My bad.
No, that's fine. And we've been working on getting the swearing out of this show for a while. So it's not a new thing for the listeners at all. No rematch for JJ. Can Rose be a star? Yeah, she can be a star, man. The fact that she, the things that she's been talking about, you know, the mental issues that she deals with, and the fact that she can, you know, go in there and be a killer, and shut all that off, it appeals to people. I don't know if you know the state of the world nowadays, but a lot of people are dealing with a lot of, you know, mental issues and mental illness being spoken about and talked about in the open and in on the biggest stage of our sport is something that I think will bring the fans to Rose. Now, having said that, Tony, my main concern with Rose is that she might be another Holly Holm, right? We saw that Holly Holm was the champion, rushed into another fight, maybe, I don't know, and was one and done, more or less, right? And I really liked what Rose said. She said, I'm going to take some time off. I'm not in a hurry to defend the belt. You know, same with the McFarlane that won in Bellator, and we'll get to that later. But you brought up the 125 division for Joanna, and yes, that's where she needs to be. This weight cut, I think, really, really affected her. You could see that she on weigh-in day, she was the last person to weigh in, and she looked like Skeletor. And, you know, as we've discussed on this program, I'm not a huge fan of weight cutting. I would love to see people fight at their more natural weights. And I think that there's a built-in rivalry for Joanna up there. I mean, I don't know who's going to win the Ultimate Fighter. Obviously, that show is still ongoing, and the finale does not happen until, December, I think, or later in November, yeah. Tony? I'm not sure. So whoever wins that title is going to really have a bullseye on them. And I think that, you know, as we've just been saying, Joanna needs to move up. She needs to fight a healthier weight and let Rose, you know, reign that division for as long as as she can.
Well said. And I agree with you all across the board. Any thoughts on apparently PVZ stating that she's next to fight whomever becomes a champion? Any thoughts on that, Curtis?
Yeah, that's garbage. First of all, garbage. You're coming off of a loss, you know, and you got thoroughly thumped in the last fight. We haven't seen you forever. Just because you're a pretty face and you're a marketable star does not mean you get to jump the line. I don't think that Paige is that kind of star, you know. And of course, Laura Dana came out at the post-fight press conference and denied that that was ever going to happen or that that was ever a thing. But we know how much we can trust Dana White nowadays and all the words that come out of his mouth. So, no, I'm not a fan of that. If they do decide to go down that route, it just shows that the Empire is trying to push their own people. I mean, we know that Paige is signed by the Empire as, you know, her management group. So if that happens, that would be bad for businesses or promotional malpractice to steal from somebody else's show.
How about that? And if you saw there the MMA Fighting's post-fight show, boy, talk about a difference in height, right? Mark Raimondi, Ariel Helwani, and then, of course, Luke Thomas. Boy, that was listen, hats off to all of them, because I think we all believe that they're all great journalists. But that was I thought that was a little funny. Let's get into this, Proteus. And, boy, again, just to set those picks straight, Proteus choosing Rose, second-round TKO, pretty close, right? She tapped, so pretty darn close, just wasn't a kick. Marco, of course, going JJ, fourth TKO. I was riding that train. Pam, of course, going Rose, third-round submission. So you and Pam got that one right. Yep. I went with JJ via decision. So kudos to you and Pam on that one. I just didn't see that any way possible. But kudos to Rose on that, and a cool t-shirt, right? The Thug Rose t-shirt. My wife pointed that out. Proteus, we go to the middleweight where we saw, I thought, what we all thought was going to happen. Stephen Thompson, of course, defeats Jorge Masvidal via decision. I thought it was a pretty good fight, to be honest with you. I thought Masvidal fought a little better than I thought he would, because I did say Marco mentioned his fight IQ. I don't think it's his fight IQ. I think he's a bit of a front runner where when he's doing well, he's more active. When he's not doing well, he isn't as active, but kudos to him. I thought he actually fought a pretty good third round. thoughts on that fight, Proteus?
Well, I thought that this fight was kind of what we, as you said, what we thought it would be, kind of the downer of the card, let's be honest. It went the distance. It was two guys who are counter-strikers, counter-striking, you know, and I don't know, it lacked a little luster for me, and especially with taking into context all of the fights that were around it, you know what I mean? It just seemed, don't get me wrong, it is high-end fighters. They're at the top of their game. But as I said to you, I thought that Stephen Thompson would be a little too big for Jorge and be able to impose his game, which he kind of did, you know what I mean? And it wasn't great. I don't think anybody was really in any trouble throughout the whole fight, if I'm remembering it correctly, you know what I mean? Like, it just was one of those things where, as Pam likes to say, this is the time where you go get yourself a sandwich and come back. unfortunately, because I like both guys, you know what I mean? I really like both guys, but unfortunately, it was lackluster.
I think, what does Pam call it? Either the snack fight or snack time fight or the bathroom break fight, one of the two. Unfortunately, right, yeah. We saw what we thought we were going to see. Let's get into this, though, because I want to talk about a few more things before we switch to Bellator.
Sure.
Paulo Borrachinha, clearly, Paulo Costa, forgive me, the eraser, clearly destroys Johnny Hendricks. We all call this. I don't think anyone saw it any other way. Let me double check. Marco going with Borrachinha, Proteus going Borrachinha, Pam going, yeah, we all called it. We all called a TKO, most of us calling a first round TKO, and we saw a second round TKO. Hats out off to Marco for calling the second round. What's next for Hendricks, Proteus? Because I think he's done, and everyone likes to call, and you know me, I'm not one to defend Bellator, but everyone likes to call. I'm not one to defend Bellator, but I will say this. They didn't sign Bigfoot, which I give him credit for. I don't know what's going to happen to Johnny Hendricks. I don't know how many fights Johnny Hendricks has left, Proteus, but what say you about Hendricks' future?
Well, I thought it was very interesting that the parallel between Georges St-Pierre's last fight and his first fight back includes Johnny Hendricks on the card. Now, of course, Georges St-Pierre was not fighting Hendricks this time, but man, did he make a mistake taking this fight. And I don't like this Paulo Costa. Like, go back to your original name. Don't make it easier for us. Borrachinha is a much more intriguing name. I like that. Did I say it? Did I murder it?
Yeah. No, you said it right. Remember, okay, the R's are ancient. Yeah.
Borrachinha. Right.
Yeah. And the NH will give you a nya sound. Yeah.
Right. This was a bad fight for Johnny Hendricks to take in the first place. I don't know why he took it. I guess because he had to. Let's be honest. And I think that, you know, Chad Dundas and Ben Fulks kind of got ahead of us on this one when they said maybe the UFC is just kind of tired of dealing with Johnny Hendricks. Like, the dude almost didn't make weight for 185.
That's a good call.
Are you kidding
me? That's actually a good call. Yeah. I didn't know they said that.
Yeah, they did, definitely. And the thing with Johnny Hendricks is that we have seen a precipitous drop-off since USADA has come into play in the UFC. I'm not saying that there was any non-Onnit supplements involved in Johnny Hendricks' training, but I am saying that when he fought GSP, because he's been a shadow of the gentleman who fought GSP. And honestly, Tony, he seems like he's losing his mind a little bit. Like, if you watch the weigh-ins, like, Johnny went on a tirade, you know, telling the media not to write any negative stories and blah, 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 blah. I think Marco was right when he said the next move for Johnny Hendricks is to go to Bellator and find a home there. Hopefully he can make weight there now that he's going to be training at Jackson's full time, which I think I had said in previous shows would be a good move for Johnny to do, to move to any kind of bigger camp. Get out of Texas, go to a bigger camp, get away from your family for a little while, your 1.5 million children, and go and train somewhere that is a top gym. And hopefully we can see some benefits from that. But yeah, bad showing by Johnny, and I think I've seen enough, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, on that, I still hope, of course, that and then again, we have no idea what his contract is, so let's put that out there for sure. But and I do want to address the Proteus sort of guy came at me a little bit and in joking, of course, on me saying that he hasn't been the same since the non-Onnit supplements or I forgot what I said, some joke, and I forgot what it was. Just to be for the record, I'm a customer of Onnit. Alpha Brain, just FYI, for a customer, we'd love to have them as a sponsor, but I am a customer of Onnit, so just let's get that straight, right? I am an Onnit customer, and I am not saying that they do anything wrong. As a matter of fact, I espouse on their behalf, so let's get that straight.
I think the genesis of using the non-Onnit supplements was because we did not want to use quote-unquote Mexican supplements anymore,
right,
so we decided to go with the non-Onnit supplements, and that's exactly it. We're giving Onnit love. We're not trying to
exactly, yeah,
belittle them in any way.
So no, we want to make sure that we get that straight. Let's move on to the card quickly. James Vick, super tall James Vick at lightweight, defeats Joseph Duffy right via TKO. If you don't have anything on that, I want to move on to the Gotthier and OSP and Randy Brown.
Yeah, I just quickly, I wanted to say excellent performance by Vic. I thought that's how it was going to go down. It's time for somebody that's ranked to fight this guy. Too bad for Duffy because, you know, he really hasn't showed out in the UFC, and that's unfortunate for him. But yeah, let's go ahead and move on.
But I agree with what he says. I don't think anyone wants to fight him, Proteus. I think that's the problem.
No, yeah.
Fly through this quickly. I mean, literally, let's go through this quickly. Yeah. Gotthier versus Walt Harris, the DQ. Anything on that one, bro?
That was the right call. That kick was late. The ref was there. It was late. There's no doubt about it. Right call by the commission.
Totally agree. Let's move on to the OSP versus Corey Anderson fight. Boy, I tell you, this went back and forth. Kudos to OSP because I thought he was actually losing that fight two rounds to zip. Anything on that, Pro?
Yeah, beautiful performance by St. Preux. That kick, he threw it earlier on in the fight and really rung Anderson's bell. And then the ref stops the damn fight so that he can get his mouth guard back in. What? That fight could have been over way sooner. St. Preux looking like a beast. That guy looking great getting off the bus in this fight. Takes a fight on 10 days notice. Watch out, boy. I think St. Preux is on the rise.
And here's the thing, Proteus, you and I have spoken about this, and Dan, Tom, and I had a friendly exchange about this too, meaning I think we all agreed. But boy, I'll tell you, it's kind of embarrassing for the New York State Athletic Commission to, by the way, big John McCarthy with a beard, good Lord. But it threw me off the fact that there were really only two quality reps, and I'll say one and a half, right? Dan Mergliotta, and of course, the great John McCarthy. But those other New York only referees, Proteus, and I don't know their names to be fair. Gosh, I don't think they deserve to be in prime time.
No, I agree with you. There were some mistakes that I had seen, and I don't know. I can't remember which fight it was. Maybe it was the Brown Gall fight. No, it was. And the ref was just constantly on Gall about putting his fingers in the fence. Yeah. Well, if you got so much of a problem, just take a damn point. Goodness, let's move on.
I agree. And what perfect segue. Let's get into that because I thought Mickey Gall, I thought this fight would go the way it did. I honestly thought Randy Brown actually would stay more on his feet because I thought he was a much better striker. Clearly, that showed to be the case. Mickey Gall, listen, I have very, 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 very limited Brazilian jiu-jitsu knowledge, as you know. Kickboxing and boxing I can talk about, right? Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I know very little because I took a class and a half and that was it for me. But I'm going to be honest with you. He kept holding on to that cage, Mickey Gall did, way too many times. He was clearly cheating and he was hanging on to the gloves. That's a trick that you do in MMA. I never did it because I never got to, but you actually, where he was hanging on to Randy Brown's gloves. Did you see that? Because he did that a lot.
It was really hard to see. I mean, Randy Brown was being very vocal with the ref about what was happening. And I think, like you said, Tony, if we had a higher-end referee in there, that we would have known for sure whether or not that was happening. I couldn't make out what he was actually doing, whether or not he was actually grabbing the cage or if he was just putting his hand on the cage or whether he was grabbing the glove. I couldn't see any of that. But Mickey Gall got exposed on this one. I mean, let's be honest. I don't know if it was the terrible mustache that he started sporting on this particular night or what. But yeah, man, he did not look good. And I've been high on Mickey Gall. You know, I've been high on his ground game. And, you know, he did have some signs of brilliance on the ground. But Randy Brown just took it to him and, you know, really pounded him on the ground. And, exposed Gall for, I suppose, what it is. And, of course, it makes you wonder why we have that other guy that came from professional wrestling in the UFC.
Is he still in the UFC?
As far as I know.
I'm not sure he's still in the UFC. Well, that would be a damn shame. Honestly, if that's the case, let's move on. Let's cover the last two quickly. Yeah. Literally, let's fly through these because we've gone about 20 minutes over what I wanted on the UFC side.
Sure.
But great card. You know, Curtis Blaydes, of course, defeats Olenek via TKO doctor stoppage. And, of course, Ricardo Ramos defeats Faraz Sahabi's brother, Ayman Sahabi, via brutal spinning back elbow in the third. Anything on that, pro?
Not really. I mean, it's unfortunate for Sahabi. I had picked him. I thought that he could get this done. If you guys are looking for a highlight reel of the knockouts that happened on this particular fight card, there is a clip. It's about a 2.5-minute clip of all of the KOs that happened here. And, yeah, this was a vicious KO. Unfortunately for Sahabi, he had a bad night except for GSP. You know, the Olenek fight, again, it's another nod to the commission. I mean, we can say that they did the right thing here. So I didn't have Curtis Blaydes in this fight, but good for him. He moves up.
And I will say this, to put the final cap on this, I will say this. I thought Johnny Hendricks didn't look in good shape, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm going to talk because he looked like me with my shirt off, or it might be actually a little worse, or maybe a lot worse, but I don't think he looked good in this fight at all. I thought he looked really soft.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with Johnny Hendricks. Either he needs to hang him up or he needs to go get a reality check in Bellator and maybe get his confidence back. I don't know, man. It's very weird.
Well, perfect segue again, Proteus. You're on fire because you mentioned this and I think we both you mentioned this and I think we both have mentioned this a few times, but you were very clear to mention this on Smack My Picks Up that I think sometimes we don't give the Bellator fighters enough credit, and especially when the UFC fighters go over to Bellator. But let's get into this. Ryan Bader defends his belt against Linton Bassal. I keep calling him Bassal, but it's Bassal via, well, TKO. What the hell is going on out here? And I know that he's had finishes before, and I joke around that he is a decisionator, but he does have a lot of decisions, right? To be fair,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, boy, now I'm saying this way too often. But, and I said, but what say you? Obviously, you saw the one and only Ryan Bader TKO's Linton Bassal in the second.
I think that this was Ryan Bader's fight. I mean, I think Ryan Bader in Bellator is a big fish in a little pond right now in this division. I can see him dominating this division. Maybe Phil Davis, if we get to see him again against Bader, would be the toughest match right now that I can see because, you know.
I agree.
Let's be honest. Davis looked pretty good getting off the bus in this particular evening. Good win for Ryan Bader. Impressive TKO. We have seen it before in the UFC, but we hadn't seen it in a while. Maybe Ryan Bader is coming into his own here. You know, again, no USADA. lesser restrictions on the testing. I don't know, man. Any number of things can be happening here, but good win for Ryan Bader. I'm a Ryan Bader fan. As you guys know, I was pushing for Ryan Bader to get the title fight in the UFC, which he was never going to get, unfortunately. And now, of course, he's a champion, and he's defended his belt over there in Bellator. So kudos to him.
And what did you say? No, you saw him? I don't know. I don't know if that's fair. And we have no idea. Listen, they weren't fighting at an Indian.
Right.
Well, they're not fighting in an Indian casino, right? Because we do hear those stories where when they fight at Indian casinos, the testing isn't as stringent. Who knows, right? But kudos to him for sure, right? And we all got that pick,
sure.
Right? Thank God, because I struggled with the JJ and Dillashaw fight. All right, let's move down a bit. We saw, of course, the inaugural women's flyweight title. We all called it as well. Alimale McFarlane defeats Emily Decoto via sub, which I didn't, like, literally with seconds left, didn't see that. I thought it would be I called a second round sub, to be fair. But literally with seconds left in the fifth round.
Round five.
How about that?
Yeah.
Alimale, shout out to 10th Planet, right? Boy, good Lord, she looked fantastic.
Yeah, and I think she, in their post-fight press conference, she was, you know, very honest about the fight itself. You know, she wanted to go out there and prove that she could strike with Emily Decoto, I believe, no?
Decoto, perfect.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, this was a rematch, of course, an earlier fight that they had, and McFarlane actually got the finish as opposed to getting the decision in this particular fight. And like I said, I think she was honest about what happened here. Emily was game. She was tough. But McFarlane ends up being the better woman on this night, taking the win. And of course, being the first 125-pound women's champ in Bellator. Good for her. And as I said, or as she said in the post-fight press conference, take some time off, enjoy that championship, you know, enjoy being a champion, because I don't think she needs to rush back into the division and fight whomever. I mean, they need to have this division develop a little bit before we need to see her fight. We know she's a star. She's very easy on the eyes. I know we say that a lot on this show, but it is a factor in whether or not it can be promoted by the promotion. I know that's going to be a touchy subject, but good win for her, and it was nice to see the belt around her waist. I'm going to be honest.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Secretly, I think if you were...
That's all right.
Yeah, I know I can hear you the entire time. It was my fault. Secretly, if you were to poll Scott Coker and Rich Chow, I think they would both say that they really want Valerie Letourneau as a champion. So we'll see. That's what I think. So we'll see. But I thought homegrown talent... She was very gracious in her victory, in thanking, of course, Bellator for the journey, et cetera. I thought she looked fantastic. I think she's a good fit for that division, and we'll see what happens. Quickly, Proteus, as we're on fumes, Leo Laetjes, 39 years old, lost, as we all saw it, to a typical Phil Davis fight, Proteus, where... And you know me, I'm a big Phil Davis fan, but gosh, sometimes those fights labor.
Yeah.
What say you, bro?
I thought there was a lot of good things to see from this particular performance by Phil Davis. You know, throwing the kicks more, you know, using his stand-up to his advantage. Again, like I said earlier on, when we were talking about Phil, or the championship fight, and I can't remember his name all of a sudden, of course. Bader. I think that, you know, these guys are kind of developing in the same kind of rate and pace. And I don't think that Phil Davis was going to lose this fight, you know, and his alma mater of Penn State. I thought a good performance, man. I thought that he's showing signs of improving. It's not just wrestle takedown, and he's trying to expand his game. And that,
you're right.
To me, it shows improvement. And, you know, I like that. I like to see that.
You're right. I mean, it wasn't as bad as what we typically saw. Hey, listen, shout out to Ed Roof. Roof.
Oh, boy.
Perfect. My gosh, brutal KO. And you called it because you said that was your spotlight fight of the night. And you gave a shout out to Saad Wahad. And good Lord, 18, I think he's had 15 or 18 Bellator fights, and he's not getting the love. And he probably should, Proteus, because, again, impressive again.
Yeah, he's hard as a coffin nail, man, and people don't want to fight him. So let's see what happens moving forward. Great win by both guys. And like I said, great spotlight fight for the night. Bing!
You killed it, Pro. It may not have been Jacare, but you had a – man, you were dead on. And typically your predictions are kind of out there sometimes, but, boy, you really spot on. Proteus, on Wednesday, of course, we will do Smack My Picks Up. Here's the thing. We'll see how we'll do it. I will be traveling, get this, to Dallas and Houston. So I will be in Houston and Dallas. So I will be in Dallas. Sorry, go ahead.
I think I'm going to run that show right for you. So because you are traveling, you're going to be...
Yes, sir.
You know, just... take my position and I'll run the show for you. So if anybody who doesn't like hearing my voice drone on, maybe you don't want to listen next week. No, I'm just joking. Of course you want to listen next week. If you
our numbers have been outstanding, Proteus. So,
I love it.
So thank you for that. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys listening to us. We've been on this journey now a little over a year and a half, and we're looking forward to our holiday parties that are coming up. Prados, as always, we always want to give props to our listeners. We do want you to rate and review us because it does help out our numbers, especially with the sponsors. So if you guys can please take the time to do that, we want the positives, of course. We certainly would love that. Proteus, any shout outs you want to give?
Well, I want to give out a shout out to our boys over there at Redshift Rebels. They had a big thing happen for them. They had Miley Cyrus model for them, some of their grime wear. I thought that was a big step for them. And like I said, if I can get those boys who are very, very busy at this time to get me a read, they will be a sponsor of this show. So shout out to at Redshift Rebels.
Proteus, you killed it. I, of course, never take it to a different level.
Well,
that was a shout out to DJ. Yeah, I never do. Follow me, of course, at I'm DJ Tony, the DJ and the PJs. Follow us at Another MMA Cast. Follow Proteus at P. Whoa, I lost it. Follow Proteus at PROADOS. Follow Pam at Pandora Box with two S's. Follow Marco at Maldo Marco. Proteus, as we're getting out of here, we're on fumes. Shout out, of course, to Stranger Things. That show has really blown up, being bigger than I thought.
Yes.
Congratulations to the three new champions. We apologize to Misha Tate. We ran out of time. Proteus,
sorry,
last word.
Hey, like you were saying, we love that you guys are listening to the show. Just keep doing it. I mean, if you don't rate and review, I mean, that would be great if you did. But if you don't, that's fine, too. Keep listening. Enjoy MMA. And like I said before, we're here for you.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
I'm not impressed by your performance.